why is this really? I don't know why that could have used that.
Habit, I guess. Hello, thank you so much for inviting me back. Yeah, it's a real privilege to come and see you all again. This afternoon, as Melissa said, we're in John 10. I'm probably not going to read all of it, but I'm going to kind of speak through all of it, as it were. What's the purpose of John's gospel? Well, when you read John 20, 31, literally in the Greek, it tells you, so that you may go on believing that Jesus is the Messiah, Son of God, and that by going on believing, you may go on having life in his name. That's the kind of tense in the Greek, as it were. A bit clunky, I know, but that's the point of John's gospel. He is turning our head knowledge about Jesus into genuine experience of new life through him. And it goes on and on. It's ongoing. That's the point. That's why we read John's gospel. That's why we read the gospels. When we come on Sundays together, as we are today, and hear God's word together, it's not entertainment. Well, it certainly won't be today. But it's meant to be life-changing, life-transforming, life-giving. The word of God has power to make a difference. Is that how you read your Bibles? Is that the expectation that comes upon you as you read the word of God? My friend Peter helps lead a persecuted group of house churches in Morocco. He eventually had to escape the UK relatively recently. Morocco and came to the UK for refuge. He was an asylum seeker who's recently got status, actually, which is a real answer to prayer. Well, years back, he had a very, very weird dream. He was then a devout Muslim at the time. He hadn't ever come across a Bible. But his dream was of a scene where he was accosted by several dwarves wearing black cloaks, pinning him to a tree and beating him. And then he saw a figure suddenly gleaming before him in a white robe. Remember, he's not read the Bible yet, in a white robe and a white belt and leather shoes. This bright figure grasped Peter by his hand and then rescued him from the beatings. He pulled him away. Then that group of dwarves instead started stoning the figure in white until he bled. And in that vision, Peter recounts himself saying, "Why are they beating him? I should be the one they should be beating." That's what he said. He didn't know, of course, what that dream was about until 10 years later, when he secretly spoke in a coffee shop to a new Christian convert from Islam, who gave him his first Bible, and his eyes were opened, and it was a picture of Jesus. The Gospel of John, what we're reading, what you guys are reading in this season, helped him look and see the living God for real. Phenomenal. So let's read a very short section of the passage, shall we? John 10, 27 to 30. It says this: "My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Is this working, by the way? Yeah, it is.
Is it working?
Yeah, good. Am I just too loud?
No.
Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that your word is the power of God to change lives. And we pray tonight that we will be opened by your Spirit, as we've just prayed there. That by your Spirit, we will receive teaching from you tonight. That you will be our teacher tonight. And that you will embolden us and lift us up and call us out to all you've got for us in the future. I pray, Lord God, that we will be a people who hear your voice and do what you say. We ask that in Jesus' name. So approximately seven times in John 10, Jesus talks about hearing, listening, knowing, following his voice, everything the Good Shepherd says. And so this morning, very quickly, I want to unpack what it means to hear God's voice. Yeah, we talk about it a lot. And so, you need to see this. Why? Because in this story, God calls us sheep, doesn't he? Sheep, me too, bah! You see, when we think of sheep, we're thinking beautiful thoughts, aren't we? White, fluffy little lambs, North Yorkshire, green pastures, bar, black sheep, and all of that. Psalm 23, we love it. Isn't Jesus nice? No. Listen, get this. What Jesus is saying here is a very important and well-meaning spiritual insight. A church pastor who was once a shepherd said this about sheep, real shepherds. A sheep is a stupid animal. It loses its directions continually in a way that a cat and a dog never does. And even when you find a lost sheep, the lost sheep rushes to and fro and will not follow you home. So when you find it, you must seize it, throw it to the ground, tie its legs together, put it over your shoulders and carry it home. That's how you save a lost sheep. And Jesus says, that's you, that is. And me, bah. A sheep, we need to listen to our shepherd. We need to. Yeah, it's a matter of life and death. There's a Ghanaian proverb that goes like this. Ears that do not listen to advice accompany the head when it is chopped off. Straight to the point. And so that's what I feel God has drawn me to today. Hearing God, prophecy in a way. Four things, quick. One, firstly, hearing God is a gift from God. The Apostle Paul tells us, and it's great that we've demonstrated that this evening, haven't we, this afternoon. The Apostle Paul tells us that the church in Corinth, and they were getting up to a lot of mischief. He says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. In Ephesians, he goes on to say that the ascended Jesus gives us this gift to equip God's people, you and me, for works of service. There's a purpose. Prophecy continues to operate today. Prophecy shapes the church to be more like Jesus. That's the intention of the gift, mighty and word and deed. God never says anything to us that contradicts his word. Nigerian theologian Femi Adeleye says this, God's voice is not always loud, but it is always clear when filtered through God's word, through his word. We must unwrap this gift with faith, with grace, wisdom, courage, helpless, and expectation. Yeah, it's a gift. Secondly, prophetic men and women are the eyes and ears of the church. They are. In Richard Adams' storybook, Watership Down, we share in the adventure of a small band of rabbits as they leave their threatened field in search of a new and safer warren. And in the book, we are introduced to the courageous leader, Hazel, and the brave warrior, Bigwig, to Strawberry, Buckthorn, and the rest. But there is one rabbit that stands out, probably the most interesting character of all in this book, Fiver. You see, Fiver is different. He's more sensitive than the other rabbits. He seems to be almost on constant alert, his body tense, his whiskers trembling, his ears pricked, his eyes are staring, his nose is sniffing the air. He seems to be perpetually on the watch. You see, it's Fiver who sees what others don't see, who senses danger and warns others of it. He smells the breath of hope wafted from afar. He exhorts and cajoles his fellow rabbits in order to stir stir them into action. You see, in a way, Fiverr is the prophet of the group. He convinces the other rabbits that change is necessary for survival. He forces them to make decisions that ordinarily they wouldn't want to make at all. He opens them up to the possibilities they cannot first see. Acting on intuition, he frees them from the paralysis of well-tried habit. By following his advice, Fiverr's advice, they are saved. I remember going through a very busy season of church ministry, and in that season, serving Jesus basically looked like, for me, going to meeting after meeting after meeting and preparing for talk after talk after talk. Prayer and hearing God and communing with him intimately was increasingly being pushed to the side. And then we hit COVID lockdown. My life was forcefully interrupted. And in that time, I remember going regularly for walks with God. I started going for walks with God. It was like rain on a very dry desert. And on one of those walks, he reminded me of when the kids were really little, 2 or 3 years old. They would say phrases that were completely out of character for them. Phrases like, golly gosh, or you really need to get your house in order. You know, things like that, which 2 or 3 year olds wouldn't say. They were speaking my words, basically. And then God, my Father, said to me very clearly, in all the busyness, Raj, if you are not hearing my voice, what are you saying to the church? And so every Monday, I go for long walks with God. I militantly carve that time out. In fact, on Sunday nights now, I get excited about tomorrow. Are you militantly carving out time to be with him and hear from him, especially those of you with real leadership responsibility? Thirdly, hearing God's voice prepares and fortifies you for things yet to come. We have hope in Jesus. Verse 29 says, my Father who has given to them, is given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. That's a promise. Brothers and sisters, hearing God helps us persevere in the face of danger, setbacks, and we've heard some testimonies about that tonight. Impossibility and sometimes threat, in case of my friend Peter. Hearing God helps us walk by faith rather than just sight. Spurgeon once said, when you cannot trace his hand, you must trust his heart. You must trust his heart. Prophecy brings inspiration, motivation, and most of all, hope. Prophecy brings the reality of a future heaven here and now. We have the privilege to experience that. We recently purchased our first building after 25 years on our silver jubilee. We had to raise 150K. We never raised 150K before, so why I thought that was a good idea, I don't know. If I'm really honest with you, I was bottling it. How on earth could this happen? So we gathered the church to hear God weekly. And those morning prayer meetings with Ghanaians, Tanzanians, Iranians, Nigerians, Indians, South Africans, who were much more used to relying on God for provision than I was, we encountered his rest and certainty together. I saw faith rise in that room and in the church. In fact, if I'm really honest, those few prophetic prayer warriors, those fivers in the room, taught me how to hear God for provision in this situation that I'd never encountered before. Men and women from all over the world taking God at his word, taking his character seriously, praying in tongues. They believed in God's abundant supply. They saw the provision of God come to pass before it did. In fact, in those weeks of prayer, I remember God said to me, Raj, I have given you this building. Now go and take it. On the morning of the gift, by the way, on that collection, we raised 170k, just short, of which you kindly contributed, so thank you for that. As some of you know, we are in the process of creating two sites. This is just another example of how we hear God's word. Two sites, one in Stockton, one in Middlesbrough, to increase the kingdom footprint of Jubilee. We are a church that has been together for 26 years. Going to multiple congregations is not something we would take lightly. In fact, the thought of it in some ways is painful. I was feeling it, my wife was feeling it, if we were feeling it, the church was feeling it too. And there's only so much rah-rahing and geeing up the church that can really get people on board. We needed to hear God clearly every step of the way. That will only take us from sight walking to faith walking. And we did. Lots of Bible verses led us. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I'm making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. God spoke to us through Isaiah 54. Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. You're going to spread out to the left and to the right into the desolate cities. But what really galvanized us into action, that was vague, but what really galvanized us into action is when we read Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, together. God spoke to us. What happens in Mark 1? Jesus is in Peter's town. He is performing miracles and casting out demons. Crowds gather. The sick are healed. Peter is flabbergasted and very excited. The church is doing well. Our church is doing well. The next morning, Peter wakes up to the sound of fresh crowds banging at his door. It couldn't get any better. But Jesus is nowhere to be found. He's not responding to the fame and attention. He's praying somewhere, hearing God his Father, then doing what he says. When Peter eventually finds him, Jesus says this in Mark 1:38. Let us now, in the midst of success, if you like, let us move on to the next town. This is what I came for. God spoke to us. God speaks to us, brothers and sisters. Listen, who's directing you? How do you make decisions with God? Are you walking by faith or walking by sight? Finally, prophecy lifts every believer to the possibility of becoming God's voice instead of just the world's echo. That's so important. Verse 5 earlier in the passage says, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. There are lots of voices out there. Like when a lot of my patients tell me before they get hearing aids, they couldn't make out the conversation in a crowded place. As Philip Greenslade vividly puts it, the prophet stops the church marrying the spirit of the age, knowing she'll be widowed in the next. Jesus, brothers and sisters, Jesus tells us we are salt. Salt needs to be rubbed into the meat, into every sinew, into every surface, flavoring it and preserving it. But salt also needs to remain salt. It needs to be separate from the meat, distinct and different. If it doesn't, it cannot preserve it. It cannot flow. Decay cannot provide taste. Andrew Wilson writes, the churches are not an accelerator of worldly evil, but a break. Brothers and sisters, we are meant to be in those places where conditions are challenging and life is hard. In the schools, lots of different places. As we scatter, life springs up in unexpected places. Barren lands become fruitful. Let's end with this. Presbyterian minister Robert Brown, he said this. Prophecy is not just a question of a little word of building up or a few consoling things. The building up is lifting men and women out of the humdrum into the great movement of God in history. to allow God the Holy Spirit to shake a man or a woman to the very core and stand him on his feet again to do exploits for God. That's the message of God for you today. I feel God wants you to increasingly, clearly hear God and move out into this next season. Just as we were worshipping there, I don't know you very well at all. I know you a little bit, Ruth. But I don't know you together. And obviously on that email, both of your names were there. But as we were just worshipping there, I had two pictures. One was a rowing a boat, and two people rowing a boat. There's a rhythm to that. You're not doing the same thing. If you were doing the same thing, you'd go around in circles, I think, maybe. But you're not doing exactly the same thing, yeah? But there's a rhythm to what you do that takes the boat forward. But you both need to be on it, yeah? And I think it somehow ties in with this Wilco. Who knows? And the second thing is where Jesus talks about a yoke. Now, what I didn't know about yokes, I was looking on my phone there. When you put horses on a yoke, or I am not a farmer, anybody a farmer, the work of two horses is the equivalent of about 10 horses because of the way they are yoked together. Yeah. And actually, Jesus talks about that yoke being easier, yeah, and restful almost, yeah, because that yoking is important. And I think there's a yoking going on. So I hope that's helpful. Thank you for your time. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord God. We thank you that you speak to us. We thank you that we can hear your voice. We thank you that your voice is a gift to the church. And I pray, Lord God, that we will be a people who continue to seek your face and hear you more clearly. I pray, Lord God, that our decisions will be based on how you have spoken to us as we continue to commune with you in relationship and trust. I pray, Lord God, for the prayers we pray tonight, that you would hear our voice, and our voice would create shaking in heaven that changes situations down on earth. We pray for this school, and how Melissa is involved in that. We pray for great fruit to come from that. We pray for footprints, Lord God. We pray that great work comes, and that there's breakthrough in this building. In Jesus' name. We love you, Lord. It's a privilege serving you. And it's an honor hearing your voice. And all of the church said, Amen. Amen.